What's up? This is Mike Fenoya from Amigos, and Amigos Podcast is In the Loop, the legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out OsirisPod.com and stay in the loop. Mongo Jerry, In the Summertime. What a weird, awesome song. It's Mike Fenoya. It's Amigos. Welcome, everybody. How you doing? Thanks for coming back and chilling. As always, we're on the Osiris Network, home to the greatest music podcasts in the world. I chose that song. That song is so aesthetically awesome, but the words are so damn weird. I don't know. It promotes drunk driving and loose sex with poor women. Oh, whatever. It was a different time in 1970. Guys, I chose that song because it's summertime. Summertime's right here. Summer tour's right around the corner. I'm getting tour strong. I'm doing all my tour calisthenics. How do I get ready for tour? I'll tell you. When I leave the house in the morning, I put a glass bowl in my sneaker and I walk around all day with it, trying not to break it and slash my carotid artery. I think that's in the bottom of your foot. I'm excited. It's getting warm. It's getting shorts season, and I'm ready for tour. Today on the pod, I have an interview with a cool group of young dudes, Amora Mora. They are a Colorado-based jam band, and my good friend, member of the Amigos family, Taylor, actually reached out, and she's like, hey, when you're in town doing comedy, do you want to chat with these dudes? And prior to my trip out there, I saw them perform while they were on their tour at Cutting Room in New York City. If you are ever in New York, check out Cutting Room. It's a really cool music room. They have comedy there. It's a fun venue. Chappelle has played there. It's like a quarter of a theater. The stage is set up like it's a theater, but it's a smaller room, Nice, fun bar up front. Cool people run it. But anyway, she invited me to check them out. So I came through in between my shows. And they were like, who's this fucking... Because I look like I'm there to, like, I don't know, sell life insurance or some shit. I don't know how I come across. I had a bald head and I wear my emotion on my face and whatever. So if I, you know, I was excited to see them, but I always approach everything with like I'm 19, but I realize I look like I'm there trying to find my runaway daughter. But anyway, they're a talented group of guys and it's fun to chat with them, because they have such young, youthful fucking energy about going out on the road and touring. And it's nice to talk to a young band, a non-jaded band. They have their whole future ahead of them. And they're talented, and we share some road stories and, you know, getting pulled over by the fuzz and how you handle it and different rooms and all that stuff. So they're great dudes. I had a great time chatting with them. So check out Amora Mora, A-M-O-R-A. So be sure to check them out. And follow them and follow at Mike Fenoia at Amigos Pod and MikeFenoia.com for dates. My dog's gonna go nuts.
Osiris.
We're gonna start off just, it's on, and we're breaking all the comedy rules. Well, okay. The podcast rules. We're chewing.
Chilling.
We don't have enough microphones.
I'm gonna have another fry too.
All right, state your names.
All right, with a fry in my mouth. I'm Danny Evans, and I play guitar in Amora Mora.
And my name is Tyler Hobbs, and I play drums in Amora Mora as well.
Great. And I'm Mike,
Captain
and I'm
America.
Not in the band. and you guys, are you brothers, or are you just two hippies that look similar?
It's funny you say that, because after like every show, someone's like,
man, I want to fuck your brother.
You're really good at guitar. I'm like, yeah, I am pretty good at guitar. You didn't know that, did you?
That's great.
So... yeah, we get that a lot. But we're not brothers.
No.
Just look alike.
Just look alike.
Two stoners who look alike. So
I watched you guys at Terminal 5, and you're probably the most smiley fucking guy that
up
plays.
Up in New York City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a big grin on your face when you're playing in between singing.
Dude, I just like, I don't know what it is. It got to this point with music where I think I'm just like so happy to be there. I'm so genuinely happy. Like those moments that people say, like, your smile's so big. I'm like up there. You can't hear it. I'm laughing.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm like, I can't believe someone's letting us make this much noise.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I think about that with comedy, too. It's like, I'm getting paid to do this.
It's great.
Fucking weird. Do you know, like, the first time I had a gig in New York that was a paid gig, I had this woman, Jessica Kirst, an amazing comic. She saw me do stand-up, and she goes, I want you to host my Saturday night shows at Gotham Comedy Club.
Oh.
And I did it for 7 weeks. And then they on the eighth week, they go, you know, we have like $500 waiting for you. And I'm like, what? And they're like,
what?
I'm like, I get paid for this. Like, I just would show up, do it. And I thought, like, I'm doing comedy in New York on a Saturday.
You got the
like,
look.
That's the payment. Mm-hmm. So it's great when you're doing what you love. Yeah. And then, like, yeah, the fucking pay is just like a bonus.
Well, that's, you meet people too, like, around, like, you meet, like, the true artists that are like, hey, look, like, you know, let's just throw something together. Let's collaborate or let's, you know, create something together for like the sake of creating. It's like money, fuck money, you know, whatever, we'll figure it out later,
right?
You know dates when you're available, whatever. That's how you know that like they're like true friends, like true just like artist friends, like,
yeah,
let's make it happen, let's be creative together.
It's awesome. Are you from Denver or Colorado originally?
I am not. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. So.
Whoa. Yeah,
yeah.
I used to go do a club in Broad Ripple.
Okay. Yeah, so I grew up my parents had a house at 49th and Central, so that's like right
Broad
there.
Ripple.
Butler, Broad Ripple, all
interesting.
Right there.
We're on the Osiris Network. There's an Osiris beer.
It's good.
Really good beer.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah. Sun King.
Shout out
Sun King.
Shout out Sun King. And it looked like a fucking Arizona iced tea can.
Yeah, it does. It's,
it was like very
goofy.
Early. This was like, I still think that we're kind of in like the Old Testament of micro, like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it has been, but it's getting to a point now where it's just like every abandoned anything is now a brewery. Do you know what I mean? It's so like a laundromat now is like, you know.
What club in Broad Ripple was it?
Crackers.
Okay, yeah. It's still there.
We used to do. No, it's not closed.
Well, okay. When?
Last year.
Okay, that's why I moved. Yeah, 10 years ago. So.
It was a great room, and right across the right next door to the place was a club called the Aztec, I believe. Was there a rock club called the Aztec? I was doing shows there, and then I ran across the street and watched a Led Zeppelin cover band, like right next door to the club.
Okay, I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if that's there or not. I know Land Sharks is there. I know
it was like an old theater, and it was like I can't remember. It was right next to
the Vogue.
The Vogue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there. They just got a new. It's a group of tech startup guys just bought it.
It's fucking great. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Dude, the resurrection of like these old theaters is. I'm such a geek for it.
It's actually crazy to tour around in all these cities and see how many theaters there are.
Yeah.
That are like, you know, movie theaters just on the weekends or whatever, because not enough people go out to do live shit in those towns. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are like tiny towns, but they have like really beautiful theaters, like beautiful marquee and everything. You could tell like at once upon a time, people used to stop here to either, you know, do comedy, play here, whatever.
Dude, I think about that. I was at the Beacon and I was like, what the fuck did they used to do here? Like, people went to these things in like tuxedos and gowns to like watch opera or watch like probably some terrible blackface thing, you know, like thinking about those.
They're like the old Western shows. Like,
old Western shows.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think, because I've been to the Beacon before, and that room is...
It's amazing.
It's impeccable. It's unreal.
It's the greatest.
It's one of my favorite places I think I've ever been to see music. So
I was telling somebody recently about, it was a perfect New York night. Four blocks up from the Beacon is Stand Up New York, and one night I had an 8 o'clock spot and a 10:45 spot, and in between... I saw an entire Steely Dan concert at the Beacon. Yeah, so I just went and did 15 minutes. I did 15 minutes. I ran and got a slice of pizza. And then I watched them do like Royal Scam start to finish.
That is fucked.
Dude, it was the greatest thing.
That is so cool.
And then I ran back to the club just in time for my set.
Yeah.
I was home by midnight, made a couple $100, saw Steely
Dan.
Man,
that was like a great night.
It was the greatest fuck. I'm like, this is...
New York night.
It's the perfect New York night.
Because you're so close to everything, you know?
When you guys were in New York, did you, you've been there before. Were you ever there before?
Yeah, I grew up in, like, just south of D.C., so I'd been in New York, like, many times.
Okay.
As, like, a kid for, like, Thanksgiving and shit.
Nice.
Know? But we've played, that was, like, our fourth time playing New York City.
It's a cool room. Is that your first time playing Cutting Room?
It was the first time not playing... Arlene's Grocery. Shout out to Arlene's, you know, we had to work that room, but it was good to go back to New York and play like the angelic Cutting Room. Like, everything's painted gold and
Cutting Room's dope.
The guy, it was so funny. I guess like everything was running behind that night. And you saw us before the show. Like, we were pretty fried at that point in tour.
Yeah.
And the guy.
And none of you knew who I was, and you guys were like, who's this fucking old idiot?
No, because I knew
I
you
got
were.
A little bit of a I got a little bit of a vibe of like, who's this fucking...
Dude, so 5 minutes before you got there, Taylor had to wake all of us up. She was literally... We were all asleep.
Well, I'm a neurotic, and I take everything personal.
It was so funny. Like, I was actually thinking about it today, how funny it was and how funny we probably looked to the people there in that show before. The show happened even before
I
us.
Like that, though.
But, like, we were just asleep, all of us. It was like an Almost Famous moment. It was just like... all asleep in the lobby of the venue because they won't allow us in the green room. We're just like around all of our shit. And Taylor literally comes, you know, our tour manager comes, wakes me up. She's like, he's like, hey, Mike's going to be here. You need to wake up.
That's so nice of her. I don't know why. You guys should have just kept sleeping.
No, she keeps us on point.
But I think it's like you guys are in like the romantic salad days of it all right now. Oh my God, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where you're out. Like, so this tour you guys just did. You're back in Colorado. We're recording this in Denver. How long was the tour? How many stops did you make? And what'd you travel in?
I'm just going to count it as 5, dude. 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. We had maybe 6 to 7, maybe 8 days off within the past 5 weeks. So we started in Montrose. We did Telluride. We did our 250th show in Telluride. And then we like literally just... booked it to New York City, had a show like literally Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So 7 shows in a row.
That's great.
Had a day off, went down the East Coast, did like Georgia, And then we went cut like through the South and did like Nashville, and we did Austin and Dallas, and then drove home.
Wow.
But it was literally like, it was one.
We did two more dates on top of that. Finish it off going to Durango and then Montrose.
Oh, nice.
Which is, yeah, that's Colorado, but it's still like 6.5-7 hours from
it's
Denver.
Yeah,
so
it's Mexico.
It's like we
basically.
Might as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We might as well.
Yeah.
We might as well go to Kansas at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Straight up. Wow, but it was like one of the most met. It was like the tour that like you start to see like your fans coming back and bringing their friends, and you've like earned that trust that they're like telling their homies to come out and see you, and
totally,
like it's a
man.
Different show.
That's kick ass.
Yeah,
that's really. Was this the first time you guys like went like long, like a long, long trip like that together? Like crammed
absolutely
in a...
fucking not. No. We have gone so many places, dude. We literally last April, we've gone to Burlington, Vermont 3 times. We've gone to like fucking Spokane, Washington, Seattle, Portland.
And you're driving
San Diego.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we did this tour. Thank the Lord in a van, yeah. Like a normal band, like with a trailer. Before that, we were traveling in Tyler's F-150. God bless its soul. It's now retired.
It's gone.
Yeah, because
thoughts
of us.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, but we almost died.
My
in
dog's
that.
Peeing on the truck's tire. Yeah. up there in Babylon.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sad thing.
How many miles did you have on it?
I had Well, when we took it out on the road, it had over 200,000. So
fuck yeah, dude.
And it was a badass truck, and I had driven it up from Florida and back a couple times to Colorado and like put some miles on it. But we were driving back from a tour on I-80, and I don't know, it was close to the middle of the night, and Mike, our keyboardist, was driving the truck, and I told him, I was like, man, you need to be going slow. The roads are really slick. And he's just starts hauling ass. Next thing you know, we're spinning out like 7 times.
What?
And just barely missed this semi. It was crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And got
slid all the way across. That's some Tommy Boy shit right there.
Well, and before that, we used to travel, and before my truck, in a big 40-foot RV named Peg.
That was the shit.
And it was it was crazy parking that in like Brooklyn and
wow.
All these places. So
yeah. A 40-foot RV?
Yeah. We're driving that thing back from the East Coast through Nebraska last summer. And
terrible drive. I've done it a bunch.
It was awful. Yeah. And it's the middle of the night again. And Mike, once again, behind the wheel.
This kid stinks.
This wasn't his fault. He wakes me up. He wakes me up, and he's like, dude, there's something glowing. Can you look at it? Like, look out the window. What's glowing underneath the bus? I'm like, dude, the fucking bus is on fire. You need to pull the fuck over right now.
Something's glowing.
There was a fire underneath from the whole drive shaft down, where there had been an oil leak on top of it, and it got so hot over time that it just caught on fire. So we got towed
in the middle of the cornfields in Nebraska.
Yeah, we got towed 600 miles from Hastings, Nebraska, back to Denver.
Wow, that's fucking nuts.
No, and I just want to tack onto that. So we pull over. And I like, you know, they have their stand. You get like a fire extinguisher with the RV.
Sure, yeah.
This RV is from 1996, and God knows if anybody's ever touched that thing.
Yeah.
I pull the pin out, and I'm like, okay, this is the first time using a fucking fire extinguisher. I hope this is how you fucking do it. And squeeze it, and just like nothing comes. It's just like,
that's great.
And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, any point in time, we need this to work. It's like right fucking now.
The one time.
I had to get back on the bus. I didn't know if this thing was like going to fucking blow the.
Yeah, yeah. That's scary, man.
I had to get back on the bus, get the water. We had the drinking.
Fuck.
Water. That was crazy.
Did you guys run into fucking Johnny Law on the road?
Yes. Yeah, we got pulled over We've got pulled over a couple times. It's always usually in someone's hometown.
Sure.
We've got pulled over in my hometown in Virginia in the bus, which was like the first time we got pulled over. And that was like, I mean, this thing was like, you know, Colorado plates. We had like the windows all like that, you know, like had this shit on them to make it warmer inside. We just got pulled over. The guy didn't even say it smelled like weed or anything. He's like, I'm bringing the dog around. Like, you guys need to get out.
Really?
We ate the weed. It was chill. But then this past tour, we literally are at a fucking toll booth, man, in Cleveland, Ohio. And we're like stopped there for a second, like get the cash ready. Because, of course, with the trailer, you got to pay like $25
yeah,
every time you're going through a toll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So right as we're going through, a cop literally like pulls right up behind us in the toll booth. And like we go through, and then you know how there's like seven or eight toll booths. Everything goes to like three lanes, maybe mm-hmm. two lanes. Mm-hmm. No one uses their fucking signal, dude. Like it's all funneled into one thing. Yep. You know, yep. Like just watch out. We're all going into two lanes. It's like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer like widens the fucking lanes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get pulled over for like not signaling or whatever, and like on a merge, which is bullshit.
Fucking
like that.
Cops, dude.
Dude, and then we had all smoked a joint at the venue that we were at beforehand, and we all had like gotten these shirts from the venue, smoked the joint in the green room, and then overnighted it to Cleveland. So he had been in the car like all night.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, it smells like marijuana. And usually they just like pull you out and make you stand on the side of the highway.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was like call two other cops, put us all in the back of cop cars and watch them like search our shit. But we didn't like, we don't travel with anything.
Nowadays you can get anything anywhere.
Yeah. But the other thing too is like, they profile the shit out of us. Like they pull us over, four dudes with long hair, Colorado plates. But the thing about Cleveland is it's decriminalized up to like a lot.
Yeah.
So they thought, yeah, so they thought we had like
100 grams.
Yeah.
They thought we had like a substantial amount of weight. And yeah. I mean, rightfully so, yeah. I guess.
We've all gone through it. Before,
they were like,
I looked like the enemy, yeah. I had a couple of, I got pulled over leaving or on the way to Lemon Wheel.
Oh, nice.
In a Colorado van. We hitchhiked.
Perfect.
I was doing summer tour and I got pulled over. The guy that was driving he didn't have a light on the license plate.
Oh, of course.
And a guy in the car had a hockey bag with like pounds of mushrooms, another hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And the cop pulled us over and was like, you're near the Canadian border. We need to make sure there's no tanks or rocket launchers or
holy shit.
And anybody that's not guilty would be like, fuck are you talking about tanks?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the thing with cops is once you show a little bit of balls back to them, if you snap back a little bit, if you're not like, fuck you, authority,
yeah.
then they're going to fucking tase you and beat the shit out of you. But if you go, come on, man, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we got to get going. We got to show. Like, if you give them a little bit of nuts, that's like when they kind of respect you a little bit more, you know?
Exactly. And I told these guys in Cleveland, I was like, yo, man, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we might look like we're stupid, but we're not. We travel all across the country. We do this every night.
Yeah.
We know the spiel. We have long hair. We practice really hard on our times off. And when we're at home, we work really hard for everything we're out on the road doing.
Yeah.
So we're not going to jeopardize ourselves
for a
joint. Yeah. We can get it where we're going, just like you said.
Right.
Why would you bring sand to the beach?
Yep.
Not in Cleveland.
Well, yeah, not in Cleveland. Thanks. Thanks to the bass player there.
That's hilarious.
His dad had some carts stashed for us, so it was just
that's
thankful.
Hilarious. Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy. Being like, we were leaving Hershey, Pennsylvania, 2000 fish tour.
Oh yeah, epic
fall.
Epic show.
Great show. And my buddy was driving a van, an old beat up fucking van on the outside. On the inside, it was pimped the fuck out, dude. And we had a tackle box filled with like a dude
party kit.
If they ever found, I'd still be in jail. Like, what's it, 2019? I'd like just be starting my sentence, the shit we had in the fucking car.
Yeah.
And the cop pulled us over. We were drinking beers. We each had just opened up like a Bass ale, blasting the Grateful Dead. One of my friends is in a, like, he had like a barber's chair put in the van and it like spun around.
Yeah.
And my buddy was on, like, when Pressies were like the big deal.
Yeah.
He ate like a couple of fucking like Mitsubishi triple stack, whatever the fuck.
So he was like lit.
Dude, his eyes looked like slot machine. Right.
Bing, so bing, bing.
I pulled over to take a leak, and when I shut the door, I caught some like hay or like long grass in the door, and we were dragging it along the road.
Yeah.
And we were trying to find the entrance to the highway to drive back to Connecticut. And this cop pulls us over and he's like, you got all this grass hang, you know, whatever. And he goes, so you got an open container there, you know? Now, at this point, my buddy was driving his van. I'm sitting in front. He goes, so you got an open container. And my buddy goes, yeah, it's his. He points to me. I was 19
at
the time. So now I'm underage drinking
open container,
in an open container, you know, whatever. And I had a fake ID, but the kid whose ID I had was with us.
Oh, so you
so I can't show
anything.
It. So now I'm just like, I'm an underage, you know, whatever. The cop shines the light in the back, sees my buddy fucking, you know, Beetlejuice eyes. And then like there's a young rookie cop foaming at the mouth. Like this is his bust. Like he's ready to fucking take us down, you know? And I dive out of the, I'm pretty spun. Yeah. I dive out of the van with a map and I put it against the van and I'm like, we're trying to get like back to fucking highway, whatever. And the guy's like, all right, dude. Yeah, no worries. Like get back in the car. Comes back. He goes, I am pretty sure you guys don't want me to search this van.
Holy shit.
And we're like, yeah, we'd really rather you don't. And he goes, I'm going to let you go for two reasons. He goes, you're drinking Bass and you're listening to the Grateful Dead.
Oh my God.
He goes, it's my favorite band, my favorite beer. He goes, I got beat up at a concert and like the Grateful Dead was just like something I felt very safe at.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
Dude, that's you guys, so cool.
And the other cop's like, what are you fucking kidding me? Like screaming at him. Like he wanted the bust.
Bad. Yeah.
And dude, we were like, thank you. And just got in the van. And the guy was like, I'll escort you to the highway. He made us pour the beers out.
Yeah.
And then he made the driver's brother drive just because. And dude, we got on the highway and bro, just lit a joint and fucking like, holy shit, man.
Where was that? In upstate?
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
In fucking Pennsylvania.
Where I've never had good luck with cops.
Dude.
Pennsylvania's brutal. Yeah. But that was, I swear, dude.
We always overnight
on everything. On my dog's life, that happened. And it was the craziest fucking thing.
That is nuts.
It's the only good cop story I have.
We try
everything
like
else has been
nothing
but horror.
We try not to even like any hint of tie dye, any steely. Like we'll get out. We've gotten out at gas stations in bumfuck Louisiana, and people are just like with the bus. It was a whole
like look at these fucking queers,
dude. No, they're like, yo, yeah, I got a cousin out there, and well, you know, you got any of them pens on you? And they're like, you're like, dude, I'm trying to shake you down. Fill up on gas.
Everyone at every gas station, it's like, hey man, you got that good or something. I'm like, yeah, my house, dude. Not here.
You should just be like the license plate's made out of it, dude. Go hit the license plate.
Yeah, scratch and sniff license plate. Go get yourself
some. I was saying we should press Keith into picks.
Oh man.
And then just we have a bunch of guitar picks.
It's not a bad idea.
And then just break that puppy.
Or
up.
Dude, you know what you do is you like make tapes, like sell cassette tapes, but the tapes are wax. And then they could just fucking like melt. So it's like a sick like $300 tape.
Yeah.
But it's just made out of fucking good Colorado.
Well, dude, the weird thing about the whole Cleveland situation was is they told us they found weed.
In your car?
Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, we found a bag of shit. Like, they told us they found some shake. They told
food crumbs. I was like, yeah, there's a bunch of food crumbs in there. And
so
shit.
Are you the one that kind of I don't want to say the leader of the band, but are you like the big brother that kind of, or are you the one that kind of,
I started the mouth? Band. I started the band. I'd say I'm the mouth, but we got the muscle sitting to my left over here.
You get into fights and shit.
He's bigger.
In those situations, I've like, I don't know. I'm comfortable in those situations and
yeah.
You know, I've been in those situations a lot, which isn't always a good thing, but I've experienced when it's like, yeah, I'm like telling these dudes, like, yo, I've been arrested before. Don't worry. They're fine. I'm like, we're fine. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we are fine. Nothing happened. But, I mean, I've tussled hands behind a venue once when a guy was trying to, like, get aggressive and, like, get in our van and kept getting in our van. And it was a thing where I was like, yo, man, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Please stop.
Was it just some fucking weirdo old hippie?
It was an older guy who'd been drinking a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know what's fucked up about our scene, the music scene that you guys are a part of and that I'm at? I go to concerts. No matter when I'm not on stage, I'm at a concert. You know what I mean? And there's always at jam band shows, there's a couple of just fucking local, old, sauced up ex-deadheads that are just like, I don't know, man. Like they're still living at their mom's or like, and they're 70.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every town's got, and at the end of the show, like they want to talk to you so bad, but they're making no goddamn sense and they're mumbling and they stink.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, you guys well, are and then like when the you Doobie Brothers, man.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about?
If you try to end the conversation, then it's like, you're the asshole. And it's
dude, I'll tell you, that's something with performing that like you kind of have to have like a little bit of like a, I'm going to give you three strikes here, but then I'm like, you know, after shows sometimes people will be like, especially with comedy, it's very like,
I mean, this dude straight up stepped to Tyler. It was fucked.
Just a drunk old piece of shit.
Yeah,
and
dude.
You got to sometimes just deck him.
I grabbed him by his wrists and was like,
he was like, don't do it. Don't yeah. and he swung.
Wow.
I was like in the trailer with the keyboard stand ready. Like if you like shit got real, I was
with
like,
the keyboard
let's go.
Stand.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing.
That's fucking hilarious.
But I got it.
So you, how long is the band now? 250 shows, right?
Yeah.
How many years have you guys been, how long did it take you to do that?
We've been seriously playing since like halfway through like 2016.
Yeah.
Like I was like still like,
God,
playing.
You guys are fucking babies.
I know, right? Playing college. Crazy. Playing like college parties, and then we kind of solidified the lineup and started touring around 2017, and we sold out the Fox in Boulder in 2017.
Great.
And that was kind of like the come up began after that. It was like we
so you guys were like a year in, basically.
Maybe like I'd say even like 9 months, dude, 6 months, because we had gone. We were doing like we were like a college band, dude. Like we were like half of us were in college. I had graduated. I was sticking around. We were going through like different bass players and shit. It wasn't like Amora is happening, and then it started happening with the Fox thing, and then Tyler came along like a year after that or 2 years.
Tyler's the Ringo Starr of the whole situation. You guys got rid of Pete Best and fucking
yeah, right.
Brought Ringo in.
I don't know. I think Ringo's definitely been the magic sauce. The shows have only gotten fucking better, dude. Since over the past year, it's funny. Like we just got off this tour, and last year in April was Tyler's first tour.
Yeah.
And it was fucking fun. I'll say that.
Anyone who knows anything about me and anyone that listens to the podcast, I'm a drummer. I'm a fan of the drums.
Yeah.
Like I play guitar, and I always wanted to play the drums. I don't know how you do it. Four things, doing four different things at the same time. That drives me fucking nuts that I just don't know how to do that. I can't have one foot doing a and the other foot's fucking laying bass down and your hands are going crazy. And then some people like Don Henley's fucking singing.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So, singing like an angel.
It's like an angel. So sometimes, or like, it's very, very weird. Any concert that I go to, especially Fish, because I normally there is a behind the stage arena shows. I like to sit right behind the stage and watch the drums and watch the fans watch the band.
Yeah.
So I sit and just I'll geek out on Fishman, and I just will stare at him the whole time and just like watch him. And I think Fish is his band.
Oh, 100%. I totally agree.
Like I just
it's all around like
it's all around the drums
around him. And I got the opportunity to do that at night 9 and 10 of the Baker's Dozen a couple years ago.
Yeah, man.
And I'd never sat behind the stage before for Fish. So
that must have been such a great experience.
I was blown away.
For
and
you.
Like you said, to like look out and see the fans and the lights, like how they from their perspective almost.
Yep. That's just my favorite seat.
It's unreal.
When I was in Vegas for the Halloween shows.
Yeah.
I was doing comedy and then I would run to MGM and catch the second and third set and then the second set of all the other three nights.
Yeah.
And I had a fucking dope seat, but I was like fucking, you know, when you're I'm all about the energy of things.
Uh-huh.
And like if you dorks were in my seat and then I bust in second set by myself running in, hey guys, sorry, you're in my seat. No thanks. You guys have my seats. You enjoy it. You've already got a good energy happening there. Now I'm going to try to squeeze in and like get to know everybody in 30 seconds. So I just run right behind the stage because for some reason nobody likes sitting there. Some people do. But I just go find myself a whole section and just fucking just being old, like the old guy
in
the Muppets,
it's
man.
It's cool
and
you
just
say
watch.
That because there are so many cats who roll up and it's like,
you're in
my
I've
seat. Been the like on the opposite end of it where I'm really high or something. I'm like, dude, I'm really sorry. Like, where am I supposed to go? Like,
no, yeah, dude.
You look
totally
around and it's like a sea of people, and you're.
It's
lit.
Funny because
like
I've been doing Fish shows since '95, and it's like you never fucking. It's like when the lights go down, you just that's where I'm sitting.
Yeah,
never. I remember bringing people, like bringing girlfriends and my wife and shit to shows, and they're like, "We're not in our seats," and I'm like, "No, we are. Like, it doesn't matter. It's all good."
Yeah.
And then you got the knobs that'll be like, you know.
This
shirts tucked in and fucking like, hey man, you know, get out of our seats. And it's like, I'm gonna ruin
works.
Your night. I'm gonna ruin your fucking night now.
Smoke cigs all night next to you.
Just fucking kick their knees and shit. But I, the Baker's Dozen, I had a pretty funky experience with a couple of people that were just like real shitty. Just way too fucking, like way too dosed.
Yeah.
And just throwing fucking like elbows at like perfect right angles and, you know, like doing Kempo basically. And I'm just like, get out of here, man. And that's when I was just like going behind the stage. And I sat there every fucking night.
Yeah.
So when did you start, like, how old were you when you started fucking playing, and who's your favorite drummer and all that shit? Is Fishman your favorite?
He's one of them, honestly. I really enjoy his approach to drums. I grew up listening to the Allman Brothers.
Uh-huh.
That's like my most favorite band of all time. So the double drums,
sure,
they embody it, I think, better than any rock band ever has. The Dead's cool. The Dead's approach to it was really like cool, but the tightness,
yeah, no, they're,
of the brothers, yeah, is like hard to beat. So
I agree with that.
That's kind of my approach to, I guess, like my playing is try to like find the middle ground of two drums as one.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes it sounds good, and then, you know,
yeah,
sometimes we're all still working on our sound, so it's like it is what it is.
You got to give yourself permission to fail, too.
It's a different approach, for sure. It's not a traditional approach, so.
And I'll tell you, just a week ago, or what? How long have I been here? 4 days ago? 5 days? I interviewed Kyle Hollingsworth from String Cheese.
Okay, right on.
Now, there's a guy who's been in his band 25 years. You guys have been in your band 3 years. And we were talking about how it's still a learning process, and it's always just trying to figure out, like, and that's the thing with, you guys came to my show tonight, and I was like, I don't know, 40% of that was probably new, and I just needed to throw myself into the deep end and remind myself how to swim.
Yeah,
you know? And I 100%. Wanted the pressure, and I wanted to feel uncomfortable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that shit's fucking great. And 100%. If you know that at a young age, that's fucking such good, like, you put your ego aside and pick it up in 30 years when you're a millionaire.
Well,
you know?
And that's what hooked me into, like, arts and music. And, you know, I, like, grew up playing sports,
mm-hmm,
and then did theater when I was younger a little bit as well, and, like, really enjoyed being on stage. And music, to me, like, stood out as the thing where it's, like, you can constantly learn. You could be an 85-year-old man.
Yeah.
And, like, you're better than ever.
Yep.
You know, when you're 85 and you're trying to play football or basketball, it's like, good.
Now you're done. Luck. Yeah, totally. You know? If you're 35, good luck.
Exactly. So you it's know what like I mean? Music, there's constant growth, progression, as long as you're willing to learn and humble yourself, like you're speaking, like,
yep,
with, amen, all, same with all comedy, forms of art. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. I think
it's really cool.
It's kind of funny. Like some people, like a lot of good comics don't really hit until they're in their 40s because it's like, it takes 10, 20 years to figure out what the fuck you're doing.
Also, you life experiences with your material, I'm sure, just gets juicier over time.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? I instead of looking at it from like, this is a good punchline, mm-hmm, I'm looking at topics and going like, what do I want to talk about? Like, I got into, I fucking hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I know where I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to kind of go, like, I'm not going to go out there and like, you fucking Republicans are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
No, you figure out a way to kind of sidestep the first reaction and then make fun of the dickhead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's all it is. It's all it's smoke and mirrors, man. Yeah.
I know what you mean about taking that deep dive too. It's like I'm gonna relate it to like set lists almost.
Yeah.
You know, like we used to write set lists and then like, you know, Trey came out this was like, fuck set lists. Like I'll look at the song list all day. And then I'll just throw it away. And, like, I always thought that I was like, well, that's stupid. And I was like, and you're lying, son of a bitch. There's totally fucking shows that y'all write the set list out. You're like, yeah, we're going to close with Julius. Like, we know you fucking talked about that.
Yeah, totally.
But the thing that we took from that is we would, like, now we're, like, making a call list. So, like, there's, like, 20 songs on it or whatever. And we won't play all 20 songs. And we won't know what we're going to open with before we go on stage. Only thing we know is what we're going to close the whole show with.
Yeah.
And that's what and you know, once it hits like 15 minutes left, I got to like, you know, 2 minute drill that son of a bitch and fucking like, all right, here we go. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the shows that we go up without set lists and just try new shit and dive in are always the best shows.
Of course. Yeah.
That New York show was one of those shows.
Yeah.
No idea what we're
doing. Well, and it's fun too, because when you're as tired as you were,
yeah,
and you're like, you got to pull it together. Uh-huh. I just did a tour opening up for the Jokers, Impractical Jokers, where we were doing basketball arenas, where I was going out and doing stand-up for like 12,000, 13,000 people.
Every night?
Every night. Five nights, five cities, five arenas.
There you go.
Nashville, Memphis, Tulsa, Dallas, Houston. And it was just, you kind of are like, you pull yourself.
Those places aren't close together, too.
No,
you're traveling.
Fucking bus tour,
yeah,
bro. And we would go, it was one of those like, Almost Famous kind of moment. That's my favorite movie probably of all time.
Yeah.
And I just remember like it got to a, we had the same stage manager at every show, and I'd be like, what town are we in and what day is it?
Yeah.
You know? And he was just like, it got to be like a little goof after a while where he would like come to me and be like, it's Thursday and we're in Seattle when it's really like a Tuesday and we're in Tulsa.
Yeah, right?
But it's just, you know, when you guys spend time together and you're on the road, and Kyle was talking about this in the interview too. And it's just like so fucking important to find those people that you know that you can.
Yeah.
So comedy's a little bit more of a solitary thing, but you know, we've got buddies that
you're
like,
connecting every night though. You're connecting like on a little bit way more of a personal level to like crowds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you hope to.
Yeah.
There are some shows that it just, no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't happen.
We know, man.
Yeah.
When
you
hit the stage flat, like we had a, I'll just say like we had a fucking flat show in Austin, Texas last week. Like fucking just flat. And we had days off and we had no fucking excuse to like play a flat
show. Yeah, what made it flat? Like, what do you like?
Well, there was a couple things. We partied a little bit, I think, like too quickly before the show. So it was like, and we're playing. And then I think it was also just like, we had been on the road for 4 weeks, man.
Yeah.
And like, we had been sleeping on floors and couches. And like, it was finally the show that we really needed to like not be flat. And it was like, you know, a good turnout, but wasn't, we were hoping for a better one. And then that just like, you know, flattens the whole attitude.
Yeah.
But then we come back, Dallas the next night.
And crush.
Fucking play an epic show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all that matters.
You know how that goes
that's
too,
all that matters,
right?
Dude. I'll tell you, there are times where like, and with comedy, you know, I hate talkers at concerts, especially at like when you guys are playing at like bars or clubs or small theaters or whatever, and people are there to kind of get drunk, talk to their friends, whatever. Now with phones, you know, comedy's a thing where like one person can legitimately suck the energy out of the entire room, and certain comics can't take it. They see one person not paying attention and they fucking snap. And then the whole room is like, I don't like this guy. So we have to walk this tightrope of like, I like you, you like me. Like, I was doing crowd work tonight and you guys said you like that.
You took a, such a good, because I watch a lot of comedy and he does too. We like comedy.
Uh-huh.
And like, what I noticed about your crowd work tonight was like, you took the alpha approach to the crowd, like the crowd work, like you were going to start and end the fucking conversation.
Yeah.
And you were going to have the punchline, and when it was going to be a punchline, we're done talking. I'm moving to the other side of the stage. We'll talk to the engaged people and then we'll go back to the nurse.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And it was like, okay, he's like, I have the fucking microphone and we're going to do some crowd work real quick and y'all are going to pay fucking attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's the reason why I did it when I did it is because they dropped the checks.
Oh yeah.
So like that's something where like people that's like a big like,
damn, that's yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to talk about my ADD and my therapy.
Yeah.
While people are like, what do you double the first number? Like, you know
is
what
it
I mean?
Double the tax.
Yeah,
what's
so, like,
going
nobody's,
on?
You know, so it's like I get, and I just from going to all these concerts all my life and I want everybody to pay. There have been times where I'm watching like a bar band.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where. It's just a fucking great band and they're trying so hard and there's just a bunch of fucking idiots talking. And I want to go over sometimes and be like, could you guys just shut the fuck up? Can you pretend that this is your brother up
right?
there? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong? And then I realized, like, who am I? Like, I can't. What am I? Some fucking low-risk vigilante? Like,
I had a moment like that the other night. At a moment, we use in-ears, dude, like noise-canceling fucking headphones.
Really?
And I could hear these motherfuckers having a conversation. And it wasn't like an empty room. There was people there dancing, but it was a quiet ambient moment. And those are the times when you shut the fuck up. And you
yeah, totally.
It works like you're ramping back up. And I was listening, dude. I fucking literally was hearing the whole conversation. And all the microphones are like 10, 15 feet away. I was like, you've got to be really just... Hey, dude, yeah, this is sweet. What's up?
And the problem is, too, is a lot of times those are the people that are having the most fun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you don't want to ruin their good time. But it's like that's why I'm so envious of like the comedy world. And I guess like some people in the rock, I guess the jam scene, it's a little different because we have to be.
Well, Yeah,
hey,
peace,
man,
love. Yeah.
Everybody's like, best friend. And it's like, you can't be like, hey, dude, shut the fuck up. What the fuck you doing?
Jack White would tell people to shut the fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and that's bad. That's rock and roll. It's badass. And like, there's comics who will be like, hey, motherfucker, let's make the show about you now. Mm-hmm. You want some attention? We'll give you attention.
Well, and you know what the worst thing is apathy. Those people that are like, I'm at this thing because my friend, it's her birthday, and I said I'd come. So just go ahead and do your thing. I've had that a couple times. Like, I say the word alchemist on stage when I'm talking about that coffee shop thing. And a girl in the crowd one time goes, do you remember that bar Alchemy that, like, we used to go to when we were in college? Like, the word I said triggered a memory. And she turns to her friend, it's loud as fuck, right when I'm delivering the punchline, starts talking. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know? And she's like, I wasn't talking. And I'm like, you weren't talking? And she's like, all I said was, and I'm like, just said you weren't talking. And she goes, can you just like move on? And I wanted to fucking punch
yeah,
her.
Yeah, right.
But I had to just like suck, like take it in and be like, be a professional. You got to fucking, you know?
I know what that, and the thing you were talking about with the interaction shit too, as like a performer.
Yeah, man.
Just like knowing when to be like, okay, have a great night. I've had people just say the weirdest shit to me. And like, you saw where we play, man. We're not playing like fucking arenas. Like, people know who the fuck we are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've literally had a girl come up to me, say she went to high school with our keyboard player, got invited by her other friends, same fucking deal. And then literally it was American Beauty in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
And we
place.
Were standing at the bar, which is right next to the fucking door. Yeah. And they opened doors for the opener for our fucking first headlining show ever, New York City.
Yep.
And dude, we got to put up numbers, dude. What are you talking about? She literally were like maybe talking for maybe 5 minutes, super awkward. Like she's talking a lot of up talk, like, yeah, and so, and yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah, 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 yeah.
And then she just goes, so can you like, they open the door. She's like, can you get me in? Can you put me on the guest list? I was like, I don't even know your fucking name if I did want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I cannot believe that.
It's the worst.
Things
too.
Are different now, though.
Well, yeah, it gets better. And you got a good manager. Yeah. So
have you ever had anybody like try to get up on stage or like any drunk shenanigans happen at your shows?
Stage.
Or like fights in the crowd?
Yeah. One thing happened when I actually Comedy Works last time I was here. A guy passed out in the middle of the show, and like the ambulance came and whatever. And the cops, the security at the club, myself, the cop, we're all standing there watching. And I think one of them goes, he probably ate an edible. And the wife turns and goes, how dare you say that my husband is a drug addict, and he was never, we're here from Louisiana. and the husband starts like pulling on her shirt and like goes, come here, like from the hospital thing, and pull, and he whispers in her ear, and she like looks up all sheepishly, and she's like, yeah, he ate an edible. Like she's like, I totally had to. But I mean, like, there's been a lot of angry, there's been fights, there's been walkouts, there's been people who, you know, don't like something that you're saying. Now look, I know where we are. I know there's a lot of fucking Republicans.
Yeah.
And if you come tomorrow night and see what I do at the other club, it's the same thing. I'm not pandering. I just know that there's an easy way to hit the middle and make fun of both sides.
Yeah.
Because I'm not anything. Like right away I go, I think that all politicians are bullshit.
Yeah.
Because if you go up now and you go, you know, like someone was telling me there's a bookstore here in Denver that like Mutiny Information Cafe or something. Where cool place.
Yeah.
I guess they had a sign up that was like Trump supporters are not invited here or whatever. Like, so like they had all these people come and protest. And I just feel like nowadays there's different ways to go about it.
Yeah.
Where it's like take the intelligent, write a good joke. Nobody can fuck with a good joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody can fuck with a powerful song.
Uh-huh.
Like if you're there. And like I was in a band and I played at bars and my best friend and my girlfriend are fucking talking while I'm doing fucking trying to sing Wharf Rat or whatever, you know, and it's
trying
just
to
like
yeah,
pay
get
attention.
That.
And I'm like with my eyes, I'm trying to like burn a fucking hole into them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's just something about like when you have a passion and other people don't.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that like there are certain friends now that you just don't?
You've
lost them.
Yeah,
because it's just they're not.
Honestly think out of anyone in our fucking band, I can say that I have lost a fuckload of friends because it's not like just me being an asshole. It's me just losing touch with like what they're doing. Like I'm an East Coast prep school kid, dude. I moved out to Colorado like they're all my high school friends are automatically like, well, there he goes, you know? Yeah, yeah. And then you like make all the college friends and then you're like, yeah, I'm going to like do this band thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're getting jobs and like moving to New York City. Like have a fun time with that. Like some of them still haven't even come to fucking see us in New York City.
But then they're the people that'll talk.
Dude, you know what? They're the people that I fucking literally, I don't feel bad because I'll literally be like, what, we got to play fucking MSG for you to come out to a fucking show?
Yeah.
Like, I got to play the fucking Brooklyn Bowl for you to get your ass on the subway and ride fucking 15 minutes? Yeah. I'll say that shit. And only in New York City, though.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, it's just like, dude, if I know you live in Manhattan, we're playing in Manhattan.
Yeah.
It's not like a Brooklyn-Manhattan type shit, you know?
Do you guys, do you go into the studio? Do you, like... I don't know. Do you have albums out? Do you have one? Do you have
Tyler? Tyler linked us up with his buddy Elio Schiavo, and he's an upstate New York mandolin player who has like since moved out here, has a studio in his basement.
He used to play with the Six Deadly Venoms out in New York. I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys. So and they ran. He ran a bunch of bluegrass. I don't know. He was really big in the scene out there for a long time, and then moved to Colorado with his girlfriend, and. Yeah, phenomenal guy, phenomenal player, and just he built a studio in his house recently. So we went there, cut a single, and it turned out amazing. So we're going to cut some more tracks there.
Awesome, man.
Put together an EP.
Good.
We've got a bunch of live stuff available on Spotify, Apple Music.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, we're hitting, like, 45 minutes. So tell everybody where, like, you can... you know, find you guys and stuff.
So basically the best place to listen to any our most recent live recordings is bandcamp.com.
Okay.
We have like a huge system on tour that we get a soundboard of every fucking show, no matter how small, how big the venue is. And if it's good, we put that up on there. We obviously have stuff on Spotify. We have like a show from Burlington, Vermont, like at Nectar's called Nectar's. Broke Down in Burlington.
Nice.
That's on Spotify. And
I recorded my album in Burlington too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vermont Comedy Club. Yeah,
really?
I love Burlington. Yeah.
They support artistry there. Yeah. Well,
it's,
you know,
it's, when I left Connecticut, it was either Denver or Burlington. And I went to Denver because just opportunity to make money. And like, I mean, Burlington's great, but
it's close.
It's also fucking like frozen solid
for
4 or 5 months of the year.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm saying?
Even
like,
for
it's
us,
just straight up like
when we go
North
out there,
Pole
it's cold
shit up there. Yeah, yeah,
I remember sleeping in the bus one night there with we used to bring my dog on tour, and I remember sleeping with him. They were all at someone's house, and I had like gone back to the bus because I didn't know where the fuck they were. We were all partying separate places. And I came back to the bus. Nobody was there. I was like, oh, fuck. And then the generator wouldn't start for the heat. We were in like a neighborhood. So what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
Caught up with the dog in like 6 blankets. And I still couldn't feel
fucking
anything.
It's brutal.
Anything.
It's so cold up there. So, but that's awesome, man. That's all fucking great shit. So people will find you there. Are you going back out on the road soon?
We will be back east in September. We're about to literally announce like, all these summer dates because we just got back from a spring tour. So
cool, man.
We got Denver coming up. We got the East Coast coming up. We got the album probably coming out by the end of the year. And I just can't thank you enough for having us on the podcast, man. Seriously.
Blast, man. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight.
Yeah.
Enjoyed
oh,
you guys
my Lord.
Yeah, it was a blast. Seriously, thank you so much. For
of course, bro. Yeah. Absolutely. I wish you guys the best. And I think it's so fun to see. I don't care if you guys are fucking street artists or tattoo artists or fucking you make Fabergé eggs or you're a band. If you're passionate about what you do, I love that. And I think passion finds passion. You know what I mean?
100%.
So, yeah.
Totally agree.
So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Peace out.
Adios, amigo.